We welcome you to Chat with a Cat. It's right here on KPAY Sports 1290. It's brought to you by Carl's Jr. with two Chico locations, the corner of East Avenue and the Esplanade, and on 20th Street next to the Chico Marketplace. It is Carl's Jr., proud sponsor of Chat with a Cat. On today's installment, we speak with Greg Klink, Chico State men's basketball coach, leading the Wildcats into unprecedented heights over the years, and really has brought a tremendous amount of excitement to Acker Gym over the last several seasons, as the Wildcats have been a perennial power, not only in the CCAA, but on the West Coast. Coach, thanks for joining us this morning, and I wish kind of it was under better circumstances where we were getting ready maybe for a conference season, really getting into the meat and potatoes of the 2020-2021 campaign. But last week, the university presidents make the decision that the season will have to be canceled because of the pandemic. How are you holding up? How's your team holding up?
Well, first of all, it's nice to talk to you. You know,
yeah.
Normally we'd be doing this before a game or after a game, but it's good to hear your voice. But we're handling it. Obviously disappointed in not being able to have a season, but we are holding up well and trying to finish the semester academically and do that. But we are good.
How many of your guys are in town? How many are doing remote schooling? I mean, I know certain athletes, they came up still are doing remote schooling, but they're living in Chico. How many of your guys are doing that?
Yeah, we have 16 student athletes in our program, and 11 of them have been in town fairly consistently. We had three guys in the dorms early on, and then when campus went completely virtual, we had to send them home. But there's about five of them that are doing school remotely, and the rest of them are kind of in and out of Chico, living in their apartment and houses.
Was there pessimism or optimism when this thing went down? I mean, I remember the day vividly in mid-March. I mean, Luke Reed and myself were getting off an airplane, got the text, it was canceled. It was almost an ominous feeling on that day when we got, you know, you're at the getting ready for a regional matchup, and we're all so excited. How has this been in terms of preparing for this season and what we saw over the summer, the ebbs and flows of cases? I mean, did you really kind of feel that this was a possibility that we wouldn't get even this season in?
Well, you know, going into the summer, I was fairly optimistic that we would start and be able to have a season. As things progressed throughout August, I obviously became less optimistic about that. You know, I don't think I was really surprised a couple weeks ago when I got the word that our season was going to be canceled. But it is what it is, and I don't think I was surprised by it. I don't think our guys were surprised by it. I think that as things kept going and continuing to get worse in terms of the number of cases around the area and around the country, I think we all, in the back of our minds, kind of saw this coming.
You know,
I guess the difficult part is you have a conference like ours that has canceled the season, and there's been several other conferences around the country that have done that. But then you turn on the TV and you see a lot of these Division I teams still playing. So I think that when those teams started practice in the summer and the fall, we did have some optimism that maybe we were going to have a season, maybe not a normal season, but something, maybe second semester. But again, I don't think we were surprised that this happened.
You know, the way you're recruiting and bringing players in, there's an ebb and flow to the classes that you bring in. And it's like, I've always likened it to puzzle pieces, where pieces fit. You might bring in a guy who, you know, if they reach their potential, is going to be maybe a 10 to 15 minute energy guy. There might be a guy you bring off the bench who plays 18 minutes, and I need you to be a lockdown defender. I mean, it's puzzle pieces in your program.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, with all of that, how difficult it has been to keep those guys optimistic about moving forward, for one, and two, what is happening with some of these puzzle pieces? Are they going to stick around? Are they not? And hey, listen, this was supposed to be the year. This was going to be the year. That one recruiting class was going to be seniors. It was going to be their year. And I'm wondering how many are coming back, how many are not, and do you even know yet?
Well, it's a great point that you bring up, because the five seniors that we have this year, Malik Duffy, Isaiah Brooks, Spencer Lachelles, Calvin Gerasi, and Kevin Warren, it's one of the best recruiting classes that we've ever had. And you know, we've had some great recruiting classes, but this group is just so unselfish. Their leadership's good. They play so well together. Those five guys really know their roles. So I think the biggest disappointment for me is not being able to coach this group of seniors one more year. You know, you've got a guy like Spencer Lachelles who's been kind of waiting in the wings for 3 years, and he's just been such a tremendous role player and one of the most coachable guys that I've ever been around. Well, he's graduating with an engineering degree, and there's really no options for grad school for him, so he's going to be graduating and moving on. Calvin Gerasi, one of the most unselfish players I've ever coached, he's graduating with a business degree. He's going to move on. Kevin Warren graduated last year and is already starting his grad school this year, so he'll be back for his second year of grad school, and he'll play his final season. Malik Duffy and Isaiah Brooks are both going to start master's programs next year, and they will be back to play. So I feel very fortunate to be able to get at least three of those guys back for another year. And it really has changed our recruiting, not just in the numbers that we are trying to sign for next year, but it also – it's so difficult right now to evaluate players. You know, if this was a normal year, we would have been on the road from July up until this point, really getting out and watching high school guys play, JC guys play, so that we'd have a bead on, you know, who we wanted and who we wanted to target. We've been fortunate enough to sign one guy already. We signed actually Calvin Gerasi's younger brother, Tyson Gerasi. He's going to be with us next year. But it's really changed the evaluation process and how we go about evaluating guys. We've been recruiting over Zoom, which is different, but it'll definitely reduce the number of guys that we bring in for next year. And the other thing it changes is, you know, you don't know, and these guys, these younger guys at our program, the ones that are going to be juniors, you know, they're going to be graduating, and if they don't have grad school in their plans, you know, they may be playing 3 years instead of four, but those decisions haven't been made. Those are things that I've talked to every guy about, but a lot of those decisions with the younger guys are still yet to be made.
How much is word of mouth important, too? I know you've developed really good relationships with high school and junior college coaches. The program has really turned the corner in terms of its notoriety around not only the state, but the West Coast. And I would imagine you're calling upon some of those relationships to kind of maybe, can't see a guy in person, but you got to really trust some of these coaches that have sent players here before, and you say, listen, is he similar to this player? What can he bring to the table?
Yeah, we always rely on those contacts, and it's been difficult. I think the one thing that we're doing, and I don't know if we're different than other programs, but we're being really patient. You know, we're not trying to sign somebody just to sign somebody. We're being patient. We've got one. You know, we really only probably need three guys, and we've got one. So we've been doing a lot of evaluating. We've been on the phone talking to a lot of different coaches in a lot of different areas so that we know who's out there. But I really feel there's going to be an abundance of players available. Part of that is because of the same scenario we're going through. There's going to be some there's not going to be as much turnover with college programs around the country with guys getting their year of eligibility back. So the ones that really hurts are these high school seniors and these junior college guys that are trying to move on. The number of spaces and opportunities aren't going to be as plentiful as they would on a normal year. So I think what that does is it creates a bigger pool of better players. So we're trying to be patient. We're trying to really make good decisions, do as good a job evaluating through video and through talking to people as we can so that we make the right decisions when it comes time to sign a couple more guys.
We're talking with Chico State head men's basketball coach Greg Klink. The Wildcats learning last week their season will not take place in 2020 and 2021. They'll resume in November of 2021. We're going to take a quick break. We will come back. We'll talk with head coach Greg Klink a little bit more. We'll talk about landing a recruit, and then once they're on campus, how do you coach them up? And we're not just talking about on the basketball floor, but we're talking about in the classroom as well, weight room, discipline, things that you're going to be able to use outside or off the basketball floor as well. You're listening to Chat with a Cat. It's right here, KPAY Sports, 1290.
This is Happy from Carl's Jr. Listen closely. Do you hear that? That's the sizzling sound of 2 1/3-pound juicy Angus beef patties stacked with 4 strips of bacon on the Monster Angus Thick Burger. You're getting hungry for the bacon. You're driving to the Angus beef. But wait, don't take your eyes off the road for the monster. When I snap my star fingers, you'll pull into the nearest Carl's Jr. and order the new Monster Angus Thick Burger. Feed your happy.
Available for limited time at participating restaurants. Price and participation may vary.
Don't let concerns about today's events derail your long-term financial strategy. Edward Jones financial advisor Neil Yellen can help. Neil works with you to understand the impact of these events and how to be positioned for the long term. Neil provides the tools for a reasoned, disciplined approach to investing. He can connect in several virtual ways. Start by giving Neil a call today at 345-8913. That's 345-8913. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Back here on Chat with a Cat on KPAY Sports 1290 with Chico State men's head basketball coach Greg Klink. Of course, the Wildcats, perennial power in the CCAA and on the West Coast, a couple of regional championships, always competing for conference titles. And one of the things, coach, you know, I always look back to some of the early conversations that we had, and you were tasked with building a program and building it kind of from the ground up. I always go back to one of my it's funny. It's one of the conversations that stands out. I was playing in a charity golf tournament, and former president Paul Zing was joining. He was in my group. And so we were on one of the tee boxes, and he says, "So we just hired Coach Klink. What do you think?" I said, "Well, I watched him as a player. I'm very encouraged. I've met him before. But I know that the people who made the decision are very excited to have him. I think it's great to have a former Chico State Wildcat." And he says to me, he says, "So, I'm going to be winning conference championships in what, 2-3 years? And I looked at him and I said, "Paul, minimum 5 years, minimum." And he looked at me kind of aghast with big, like, "What?" And I'm like, "I don't think you understand how difficult it is. It's going to be to build this. You got to give them a chance to recruit. They're going to redshirt. Then they're going to play, and they've got to learn, and they're going to be freshmen. Then they're going to be sophomores. By the third year, we might be giving ourselves a chance to get in the postseason." And he, and that's the conference tournament, not the regional. I think I shocked him a little bit, but coach, you shocked us because you pull off the massive upset in your second year against Dominguez Hills, and by year four, you win a conference championship. Was that timeline, and I know you believe in your process, you believe in your guys, but was even that timeline a little even fast for you?
It's so funny because Mark Darnell, my assistant, and I were talking the other day, and we were just reminiscing on the past and, you know, what we've done and where we need to go and how we're going to get this thing rolling again once we get back to playing. And he was asking me questions. You know, he's been with me for 3 years, and he was asking me about those early years when we were building the program and trying to get better. And I told him, I said, you know, I always believed that we could be good, but if you would have asked me, you going to win a conference championship in year four, I would have probably laughed at you. We've accomplished some things here that I wasn't sure we'd ever accomplish. You know, winning 2 West Region titles. I was hoping that maybe by year 6-7 we'd be in the hunt for a conference championship. So it really progressed faster than I ever thought it would. I credit our staff for recruiting really good players, but great people. You know, the culture that we've built and the type of people that we've been able to recruit has really accelerated the process here. So obviously never satisfied, but and I think we've shown everybody and ourselves what we're capable of and what we can aspire to in terms of accomplishing championships and Elite Eights and all that. But no, if I'm being honest with you, I think this progressed way faster than I ever thought it would, and we got it rolling, and we got guys to believe in the process of just getting better every single day. And that I always believe that if you work the process and try and get better every day, the wins and the championships will take care of themselves, and that's really what happened.
One of my one of my favorite conversations with you over the years, and probably one of the more surprising conversations we've had. I think we were sitting in an airport, and I asked you about playoff. Aren't you? I said, Coach, man, I am the most nervous as a broadcaster. I mean, I am in knots before a playoff game, before a regional game. I am like, palms are sweaty, tough to sleep. As such a fan of the program, these are the times I've always wanted to watch Chico State play postseason basketball. And so when those times come, I'm just nervous as a fan. I'm just so anxious. And you shocked me. You said, I'm that way during every regular season game. But once we get to the postseason, it's a different story. Explain that to me, because I thought it was amazing to me. It was amazing to hear.
Yeah, and maybe I'm just wired differently. I don't know. But really, the farther we go in the tournament, the more relaxed I get. And I really believe that by the time you get to an NCAA tournament, every single team you're playing has had a tremendous season. So you could play well and win. You could play well and lose. But and here's a story just to kind of put it in perspective for you. I'm a stress case and high anxiety before games during the conference season. But like when we were down in 2017 at UC San Diego and for the NCAA tournament that year, and we beat Western Washington. We won our second round game against Hawaii Pacific, and I'm sitting on the bench courtside before the West Region game against UC San Diego at UC San Diego. And it's about an hour or so before the game. And I'm sitting there, and Eric Olin, the head coach for UC San Diego, comes up and he sits down, and we're just chatting. And he's somebody we've had battles with over the years, and I have such a tremendous amount of respect for him and his program. And so we're sitting there getting, you know, an hour away from playing for the West Region title against each other. And I said, how do you feel right now? I go, do you stressed out, or he goes, no, I'm pretty good. He goes, I think I was a little stressed for that first round game just because we were hosting. And I said, I feel the same way. You know, I feel like if we play well tonight, we're going to win. If you play well tonight, you're going to win. But this is when it gets fun for me, and this is when it's great. You know, it's all gravy, I guess. We've had a great year. You know, I want the guys to play well. I want them to be successful. But at the end of the day, I know we've accomplished a lot, and I know that we can feel good about what we did and the process worked. And, you know, those NCAA games for me are not gut-wrenching. They're enjoyable. I really enjoy coaching them. I have fun coaching them. Now, you put us on the road at Monterey Bay in the middle of February, and I'm in knots. And, you know, the intensity level for me personally is at an all-time high. You know, and it's just different. And I wish it wasn't that way. You know, I wish I could approach every game like I approach an NCAA game, because it would be a lot more enjoyable and a lot more fun throughout the season. But by the time we get to an NCAA tournament, I mean, that's when it really gets enjoyable, and I feel more relaxed than ever. And I know that sounds crazy, but I guess it's just the way I'm wired, but it's, you know, those are the times that I really, really enjoy.
You know, it sounds like a teacher, of which you are, but it sounds like a teacher who, you know, provides the lesson plan. The kids got to do the work, and their work is kind of done. And then you want them to do well as they're making their final presentation when they stand up in front of the class. It kind of sounds like that's exactly what the tournament is.
Yeah, and here's the other part of that, too, is when we're grinding through a 22-game league schedule, my job really throughout the week is to get the guys prepared and to get us better and to put together a scouting report and prepare for who we're playing. But when you're playing twice a week, you know, and it's 22 games, you get to the middle to the end of that regular season schedule, and it's really about getting the guys focused and motivated every night. You know, they're tired, they're worn out. So when you're on the road at a Sonoma State or Humboldt or you're home against, you know, you're trying to get these guys focused and not to overlook anybody. And that's really where my stress comes from. It's like, are we ready? Have we done a good job getting the guys ready? Are we mentally focused and prepared to go out and compete like we need to compete to get this done? When we get to the NCAA tournament, if you're not ready and you're not prepared and you're not motivated, well, then something's wrong with you as an individual. So I really don't have to do a lot to motivate the guys to get focused for those NCAA games. You know, we obviously put so much into preparing for who we're playing and game plans and scouting reports and who we're going to play and what we're going to run and how we're going to attack the other team's defense. But in terms of motivation and really having to make sure everybody is dialed in and focused and that grind. I mean, if you're not ready for that type of game, then, you know, like I said, something's wrong with you. So it's fun because the guys, you show up to a championship game at UC San Diego and they are dialed in and ready. And obviously we won that game and played about as good as we played all year long. And there was very little I had to do to get the guys in that state of mind. I mean, they are there.
Fantastic. We're going to take our final break. We're going to talk about some of the most important players that have come through the Chico State program during the Clink era so far. And what happens when you recruit a player and they get here and maybe they don't buy in? We'll talk to Coach about that a little bit. You're listening to Chat with a Cat right here on KPAY Sports 1290.
This is Happy from Carl's Jr. Listen closely. Do you hear that? That's the sizzling sound of 2 1/3-pound juicy Angus beef patties stacked with 4 strips of bacon on the Monster Angus Thick Burger. You're getting hungry for the bacon. You're driving to the Angus beef. But wait, don't take your eyes off the road for the monster. When I snap my star fingers, you'll pull into the nearest Carl's Jr. and order the new Monster Angus Thick Burger. Feed your happy.
Available for limited time at participating restaurants. Price and participation may vary.
To our valued customers at Recology, we're working hard to keep our communities and employees safe during this COVID-19 event. Our offices in Oroville are currently closed, as is our household hazardous waste facility. Our transfer station will remain open. We can only accept checks or credit cards at this time. Recology will continue with our regularly scheduled pickups. We appreciate your patience and flexibility at this time. For more information, please visit us at www.recology.com. Stay safe. We will get through this together.
Welcome back to Chat with a Cat, our final segment with Chico State men's head basketball coach Greg Klink. You know, I've mentioned to you numerous times, one of the greatest gifts that Sonoma State University has given the Chico State Wildcats was when they decided that Jay Flores probably was not going to be the guy that was going to lead them on the basketball floor, and Jay, being the type of guy he was, looked for a place to land. And boy, Coach, he just felt like it felt like he sped up where you wanted to be in terms of a program really, really fast.
Well, Jay was a big part of that first recruiting class. And just a quick story about Jay. I had watched Jay when I was an assistant coach at UC Davis. I had watched Jay play in high school. I was up at Jesuit High School, where he's from, recruiting a kid that he was playing against, actually. And I remember Jay. And when I got the job here, you know, those first couple of weeks in the spring of 2008 was just a whirlwind for me. My assistant and I, Gus Arginal, were trying to put together a recruiting class, a big recruiting class. I think we took 8 guys that first year. And there was a high school coach in Sacramento named Justin Climo, who actually was a team manager at UC Davis back in the 90s when I was there. And Jay Flores had left me a couple messages on my office phone, and I didn't have a release on him from Sonoma State, so I hadn't called him back. And Justin Climo called me up, and he goes, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And he goes, "Jay Flores is leaving you messages, and he could be a great player for you, and you haven't called him back yet." And I said, "Well, Justin, I don't have a release on him." He says, "He's got the release. Call him." So I called Jay back. Jay came up with his parents and visited. We had a great time, and you were talking about, you know, I had watched Jay play once in high school, but I hadn't seen him in a couple years, and you're talking about leaning on coaches that you trust for recruiting. Well, I trust Justin Climo. He knows players, and he said he's a no-brainer. You got to take Jay Flores. So on his word, I took Jay, and it was one of the best decisions we ever made as a program. Jay was part of a recruiting class with DeMario Sims, Spencer Moyer, Jake Lovisolo. It was just, and there's others that I'm not mentioning, but just did a great job of coming in and getting in to the culture of the program and doing everything we asked him to do. Zach Graves was part of that class. Chris Sharp was part of that class. But it was just a tremendous group of guys that bought in. I always talk to them about having blind faith. Just have blind faith in the program and what we're trying to do and buy in, and good things are going to happen for you and good things are going to happen for us. And it was just a testament to those guys where they did everything we asked them to do and they never questioned anything. They just bought in. They all redshirted and developed and just got better and better and better. Just a huge success story. John Baird was part of that class. He had been here, but was ineligible and redshirted. I mean, he's another guy. I look up on the walls and all the pictures of these guys. You know, those guys, a guy like John Baird didn't win a championship, but we would not have won the one in 2012 if it weren't for him and guys like him who just bought in and got us better and got us to the level where we started to believe that we could win every night.
Walked into the gym one day, and you guys are just starting practice, maybe 2 or 3 days in, and as you're apt to do at the beginning, would you let me look at him for about 10 minutes, and you come over to me, you say, Bach, what do you think? What do you think? Who do you like? Who do you like? And I immediately pointed to a guy on one of the side courts. He had long kind of dreadlocks, and I was like, I like that guy. I think I'd love that guy. And you're like, yeah, that's DeMario Sims. He's one of our prized recruits, and you will not see him this year. He will be redshirting. And I'm like, but he is your best player. And you go, yeah, I know that. And he will not be playing this year.
Yeah.
Talk about a culture change and talk about a guy who came from a state champion at McClyman's and who just had leadership oozing from his pores.
Oh, just a competitor. And here's another backstory on him. When I was an assistant at UC Davis, I was down at Cal watching a series of games on Martin Luther King Day. They have a series of games that they play with a bunch of the best teams in the state, or, you know, Northern California. And McClyman's was playing, and I was sitting in the middle of the McClyman's crowd, and there was a guy, I don't know who he was, but every time DeMario would score a basket, he'd turn and look at me because he knew I was a coach, and he'd point, he goes, that's Memo. Memo's his nickname. That's Memo. That's Memo. And so I remember seeing him play in high school and knowing who he was and part of just a tremendous team at McClyman's High School. And so we get the job here, and I'm out in Vegas recruiting that summer of 2008, and Gus Arginal calls me and he says, you know, DeMario Sims. And I go, that name sounds familiar, but I don't really remember. And he goes, well, we can get him. And so we took him, you know, and didn't know a ton about him. And he got here and redshirted, and we knew he was going to be special. And I remember one of my vivid memories is the very first game of that second year when DeMario was a freshman playing his first game at home. Put him in, brought him in off the bench, and he just sparked us. I mean, his energy level, his enthusiasm, I mean, just a tremendous success story. You know, he comes from a very tough upbringing in terms of, you know, his mother passed away when he was young. He was raised by an uncle and his grandmother. He had the odds stacked against him, and he just persevered and overcame, and just his toughness, just physical and mental toughness to be able to do what he did. You know, he really credits this program for saving his life, but we really credit him for being so instrumental in building what we do, not just in terms of winning games, but just our culture. You know, he's just a leader. I bring him back to talk to our team. He's a deputy sheriff for Santa Clara County now, and just a tremendous role model for everybody that comes through our program. We talk about him and all those guys a lot. You know, I bring those guys up as examples, you know, and tell stories about him. But he's a guy that I'm so proud of, love so much, and has done tremendous things.
As we wrap up, I got to ask this because to this day, I still, in a lot of respects, can't believe it actually happened. Do you sometimes sit there in a moment where you're maybe not thinking about it, but it pops into your head, how in the world did you guys come back and beat Stanislaus State? Do you sometimes still think about it and go, how did we do that? How did that happen?
Oh, my God, Mike. It's such a surreal moment, you know, to be down, 13 with a little over a minute or 2 minutes to go and come back and win that game. One of my favorite stories, and I actually texted with Chris Cobb about a month ago with this, but Chris Cobb was my head assistant at the time, and we won that game, and we were in shock. You know, I just remember walking off the court, and at Casulis Arena, as you know, you enter the one level. Chris and I took an elevator from the top floor down to the bottom floor so I could go to the press conference after, and we hadn't been in the locker room with the team yet, and he and I were the only ones in that elevator, and we're riding down, and we didn't even say a word to each other. You know, we just looked at each other and just in disbelief, and it was interesting because he and I, it was the season was over, and it had been a couple months before we ever really even talked about what happened, you know, and it was just a funny moment. We're riding that elevator down. We just kind of look at each other and smile and didn't know what to say. I think we were both in shock, but one of my greatest memories, I've looked back. I've never watched that full game, but I've watched the last couple minutes, and Sean Park standing in the middle of the floor crying. Felipe Restrepo, our soccer coach, was in the stands, and he rushed the floor and hugged Drew Kitch. I mean, just I remember seeing you and Luke Reed standing there just in disbelief. I think we were all in shock, but it was one of the greatest, not probably the greatest game I've ever been a part of, just because of the resiliency. And just one more quick story about that game. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, the week before we got our butts kicked by Stanislaus in the CCA championship, and so we make it to the championship game of the West Region, and we're at shoot-around, and we're about to play Stanislaus. And I wasn't sure that our guys really believed that we could beat Stanislaus because they just, you know, handled us so well the week before. And so we were standing after shoot-around, and I saw a ladder underneath one of the breezeways. And I brought them all together, and I said, okay, here's the deal, guys. I go, tonight when we win, you see that ladder over there? We're going to grab that ladder, we're going to bring it right over here, put it under this hoop, cut down this net, then we're going to carry the ladder to the other end of the court and cut down that net. And it was funny because after we won, Drew Kitchens comes running up to me, you know, as we're celebrating on the floor, and goes, Coach, there's the ladder. And so we cut down the nets, and it was just a tremendous experience.
One of the greats, if not the greatest win in Chico State history when they won the regional championship and the Wildcats, as Coach mentioned, team was down 13, I believe, with 1:50 to go and found a
way. Yeah, you know, and just one other quick little story. Sure. You're getting me going with all these memories. But we were, as you know, I think we were down 18 or something in the first half, and we were not playing, and we were not competing, and we were giving in, and really we didn't have the belief that we could beat that Stanislaus team. And that Stanislaus team turned out to be great. I mean, they were playing as good as anybody at the end of the year. And we went into the locker room at halftime, and I looked at Sean Park, and I looked at Rashad Parker and Nate Appel, and, you know, these seniors, and I said, you know, Amir Caraway, Jordan Semple, I said, is this how we're going to go out? I go, we can lose the game. It's fine. I go, but we're crying to the referees. We're not competing. We're not playing defense. We're giving in. I go, and I go, I've got such great memories with you group, that group of seniors. I got such great memories with you guys of just getting after it every night. I go, let's get after it in the second half. Win or lose, let's go out and play like we're capable of playing, and let's compete, and let's be nasty, and let's get after it. And I go, is that how you guys want to go out? I go, how do you want to end this? How do you want to end your career? I go, don't worry about the scoreboard. I go, if we start competing and we start playing, things will take care of itself. I go, let's look up at the scoreboard with 2 minutes to go after we've gotten after it for 18 minutes and see where we're at. Well, after that 18 minutes, we were playing and we were competing, but I think we were still down 13.
Yeah.
And they just, their resiliency and their just belief, you know, and they just kept going and making plays and getting stops and making free throws and hitting shots. And, you know, we put ourselves in a position, obviously, at the end to win it with two free throws, but just the resiliency that they had and the response that they had at halftime was just something that made me extremely proud.
Yeah, and you know, and if you ever have to stress to your team ever the importance of making your free throws, you can just point to Amir Caraway with 1.7 seconds left and the free throws he made down one in a regional championship game, having to knock down a pair.
I mean,
and of course,
talk about that guy's career and how much better he got throughout the years, and You know, he'll go down as one of the best players I've ever coached. I mean, his development, you know, his ability to play on the perimeter. You know, we recruited him as a 6'5 center out of high school. I never thought he'd play outside 8 feet, and he just worked at his game and believed in himself so much. And just his development over the years, and, you know, West Region MVP in 2014 and the two biggest free throws of his life. He looked so confident and knocked him down and put us ahead.
And, of course, we've talked about this on road trips as well. As we wrap things up, he makes both free throws. Stanislaw inbounds the ball to their point guard, Sam Marcus, who wreaked havoc on us during those three games, four games we played against him tonight. And he shoots about an 80-footer from the other free throw line, the full court shot. And as he let it go and it sailed through the air, it lined up perfectly.
Yeah.
It looked like it was going in. And it just came short.
Well, those moments for me are like slow motion. You know, I watched the free throw go in. I watched him inbound it to him. I was hoping he would just catch it deep enough to where he couldn't, you know, get across half court, and he let it fly. And I looked at it. I'm like, that might go in. You know, these thoughts are just slow in my mind. Yeah. And when it bounced off the rim, you know, like I said, we were in a little bit of shock. And I think the only people in the building that were in more shock than us were the Stanislaw staff and their team. But, just a surreal moment.
Coach, always great catching up. It bums me out we're not playing basketball this year. I know it's bumming you and your players out. But hopefully a happy and healthy 2021. And then we get after it in November of 2021. And I think the exuberance for that season, when you are able to take the floor again with your group, is going to be unlike any other. I think the stands are going to be filled. I think people are going to be so excited to get back to a sporting event.
Yeah, I'm extremely optimistic about it and looking forward to it. You know, I've really, the biggest thing for me that I've missed, it's not the games, and it's not the, it's being around our guys. You know, I have not been around this group since last March. I've seen a couple of them individually, but we have not been together since we left the bus as we pulled into Chico after the NCAA tournament got canceled last March. So just being around these guys on a daily basis is what I miss most. We've got a tremendous group of guys. They're working hard academically to do a good job in the classroom, but just the fact that I don't get to see him every day is what I miss most. So I'm really looking forward to the day we get to be back together.
Hey, Coach, thanks so much, and have a best of luck to your student athletes. Keep getting the job done in the classroom, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Mike. Always great to talk to you.
All right. That is Greg Klink, Chico State men's head basketball coach. The Klink era has been some of the most enjoyable in Chico State history. We'll have to wait a bit, about 11 months, but it will be back, and we will be excited to bring it to you right here on KPAY Sports 1290.
This is Happy from Carl's Jr. Listen closely. Do you hear that? That's the sizzling sound of 2 1/3-pound juicy Angus beef patties stacked with 4 strips of bacon on the Monster Angus Thick Burger. You're getting hungry for the bacon. You're driving to the Angus beef. But wait, don't take your eyes off the road for the monster. When I snap my star fingers, you'll pull into the nearest Carl's Jr. and order the new Monster Angus Thick Burger. Feed your happy.
Available for limited time at participating restaurants. Price and participation may vary.
You're listening to KPAY Sports 1290. Chico.
And of course, for the upstart 49ers, they're 6 yards away from Pontiac. 3rd and 3. Montana looking, throwing in the end zone.
A Deer Creek Broadcasting Station.
Walker over to Borwinkle. Borwinkle lean-in shot. George Johnson blocks it. It's out of bounds. 11 seconds to go. A 4-point lead. Johnson has blocked at least 5 key shots in the final quarter of the ballgame.
Your home for Golden State Warriors basketball. KPAY Sports 1290.
Here's Walker into the lane. Walker, whirl shot. No good. Bounces out to Barry. Barry to the ball. He is fouled. The Warriors win it. It doesn't matter now. 4 seconds left.
You're listening to KPAY Sports 1290. Chico.
Modest 4-0 run for San Diego. And now Chico has the ball in a big possession to try and go up 3, maybe even 4. Jalen left side, Ellis. Ellis, ball fake to the post. Hands off Silverstrom. A three, top of the key. Good! Oh, baby! A three-pointer for Silverstrom. 17 in the game. Chico's lead is four, 1:45 to go. The shot of Corey's life.
A Deer Creek Broadcasting Station.
This year, we've learned how much we really value parts of everyday life. Family, toilet paper, sports, and of course, clean tap water. At California Water Service, their essential workers are here for customers and communities day and night, taking care of the water system, making sure it's ready to go at your faucet, and ensuring it's safe to use and drink. And they'll stay here for you, so you don't have to think twice when you get a glass of refreshing H2O or wash your hands. Even though we're still 6 feet apart, we're all in this together. Learn more at calwater.com.